45, Isaiah chapter 45. I think I did throw the fan on in here. It's a little bit warm, and that should take care of it a little bit. We gave these out on Wednesday night, the Fishing for Men, Studies in Soul Winning by C. Sumner Wimp. If you did not get one of these booklets, they're there, and they're free as a gift. If we run out of them, we do have a few more that we can put out tonight. And this is basically in a devotional type, written a devotional type format. You could take a reading and read it a day for 60 days, and different ideas that encourage you about soul winning and winning other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Larry Harrison, the book man, able to provide some of those that they reprinted, and so we appreciate that. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, very simple text. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I'll give you some time. I hear some of the pages still rustling. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. And we'll be looking at this passage of Scripture and the context. Okay, amen. All right, there we go. I didn't think it was going to cut on there for a minute. In the context of our passage of Scripture, Isaiah is being used of the Lord to call Israel, a nation that once knew the Lord, to repent and return to God. Under the leadership of Ahaz, a wicked king who had publicly and defiantly turned from the Lord, Israel had forsaken the Lord and followed the leadership of its wicked rulers. America has also done the same thing, electing and following wicked rulers in her rejection of the Lord that had made her great. Just like the call of repentance from Isaiah to Israel, there is a remnant in America that is holding the line for the Lord, preaching the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and calling on our nation to repent and return to the Lord. This call is also going out, I think this call to repent and return is also going out to America's churches who have forsaken the Lord and have followed the ways and the pattern of the world, forsaking the Lord and His Word. In the context, that is what Isaiah is dealing with in the nation of Israel. But in the midst of this message, there is a call that is going out to the Gentile nations in our text, in Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. In his call for Isaiah of Israel to return to the Lord has led Isaiah to make this appeal to the nations to look unto the Lord and be saved. Now, God's desire for Israel was to be such a testimony of the grace and the glory of God that she would be used to draw the nations to the Lord. However, because Israel had turned away from the Lord, the nations are not being reached for the glory of God. So in the midst of this call for Israel to return to the Lord, God gives the cry that goes out, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's none else. This cry not only went out in Isaiah's day, but it's gone out through the ages and the world to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one such man that responded to this passage of Scripture whose name was Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Baptist Preachers. While he was a teenager, he was heading to his regular church, going to church in London one Sunday morning when a fierce snowstorm had hit the city. Well, he was unable to go to his regular church, so he stopped in a little Baptist church. And when he went there, the pastor of that church was unable to make the service as well. So there was a layman with limited knowledge and limited ability, took Isaiah 45 and verse 22 and preached a very simple and short message. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. The man who was very limited in his speaking and preaching capability had read the passage, explained it, and then afterward he had basically run out of things to say. Then there was a great clap of thunder that shook the pulpit, and he pounded the pulpit and he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. At the close of the service, he noticed a teenage Spurgeon that was sitting in the back. And Spurgeon, by the way, had already memorized thousands of passages of Scripture and also had memorized various poetry passages that he had learned as a youth. So Spurgeon was sitting in the back with the Bible knowledge that he had, and the man noticed that he had a long face. He had a miserable look. Well, this preacher, and really not a preacher, just a layman doing the best he can with what he had, He noticed Spurgeon's state and looked at his countenance, that he was miserable. And he looked to Spurgeon and he said, "You look to Jesus and you will be saved." Spurgeon did exactly what the man suggested. He looked to Jesus and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that service of a man that knew very little, had was very limited in what he was able to do, took the message and took this passage of Scripture, and with the anointing of the Lord, won a man that has preached more and wrote more than any other preacher that has ever lived. And I trust that today, that we will pay attention to this passage today and receive what the Spirit of God has for us, just like Spurgeon did over 150 years ago. Look at the proclamation here in verse 22. "Look unto me and be ye saved. For I am God and there is none else." All right, the proclamation, the look unto me. We're not to look down. Several things that we do. And one of the things that we look down. The creatures of the earth, dogs and cats and many of your four-footed beasts, your cattle and pigs, the posture of their body is made where they primarily look down. Man is the only land creature that is made by nature to be able to look out and to look up. And so we're not to look down, because there's nothing in this earth that will save you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, received from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your father." I'm going to quote that again. I messed that up. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition of your fathers." You cannot work your way to heaven. There's nothing in this earth that will save you. There's nothing, there's not enough money that you can have that will earn salvation. There's not enough positions that you could attain that will earn any merit with God. There are people that look to this earth as a means of satisfaction and as a means of salvation, and we're not to look down, we're not to look to the earth, because there's nothing in the earth that will save. We're not to look inside. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. You cannot be smart enough to figure out a way to be saved. You cannot earn salvation by your merit. You cannot earn salvation by your works. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." We're not to look inside. I mean, there's nothing that I can do to earn salvation, to merit salvation. We're not to look out, because there's no other way. I mean, you can look out, you can look in the different religions that man has come up with. You can look at the idolatry, the religious institutions. You can look to denominationalism. You can look to baptism. You can look to confirmation. You can look to various things, and none of these things to save. You may be here and saying, "Well, I'm going to live a perfect life." You cannot do that. There's no way you can live a perfect life. Even if you started from this point on and went forward and lived a perfect life, you couldn't do it, because you do not have the nature to do that. And even if you could live a perfect life from this point on, you still got to give an account of the sins of the past. And so there's not a way. There are religious institutions, there are cults, there are false religions, and people that are trying to earn their way to salvation. No need to look out. Isaiah 45 and verse 21, it says here, "Who have told it from that time, have not I the Lord, and there is no God beside me, a just God and Savior, there is none beside me." Now, there are those religious denominations that teach that Jesus is a God, but he is not the true and living God. According to the passage of Scripture that we're reading right here, either Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh, is Jehovah, Jesus is Jehovah's Savior, the meaning of the name of Jesus, either he is a true and living God, he is a creator, or he's a false God. But you can't say he's a God, that he is one among many, because God himself said that there's no God beside me, a just God and Savior, there's none beside me. You cannot look out and figure out a way to go to heaven. No, you must look up. And our text in verse 17, Israel shall be saved in the Lord. Amen. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not being a Baptist. It is not doing good works. It is not giving of your tithe. It is not being baptized or confirmed or doing other things, teaching Sunday school or preaching the Word of God. You are saved in the Lord. I'm thankful that I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior over 30 years ago. Amen. And you, if you're going to be saved, it is a work of the Lord that takes place in your life. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. You must look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, you can be a religious sinner. You can be a rotten sinner. But it doesn't matter. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to him in repentance and faith. But I would like to make a little bit of an application here for those that are born again, because we are so prone to wander away from God. We're so prone to drift away from where we need to be in the Lord. Let me remind you this. Peter looked down and he began to sink in the water. Paul tried to figure things out for himself. He was going to offer a sacrifice at the temple and he was humbled. Elijah looked out and he fled from fear of Jezebel, the wicked queen's wife. And you know what? When they looked down, they looked inside, they looked out, they drifted away from the God, drifted away from God. But when Peter looked to the Lord and Paul looked up and Elijah looked up, all of these God delivered. And if you and I will quit looking down at this world, looking to our own intellect to figure out how things are going, or if we will quit looking out to find some other way to get right with God as a child of God, if we'll look to Him, amen, if we'll look to Him, God will deliver you so that you'll not sink. God will deliver you out of that state of being humbled. And God will put confidence and replace that fear that's in your heart and life. There's a proclamation. Look unto me, the provision. Look unto me and be ye saved. Man's greatest need is that of salvation. We do not need a political deliverance. Well, we do need a political deliverance, amen. But that's not your greatest need. Your greatest need is not a political need. Your greatest need is not an economic need. Your greatest need is not a philosophical need. Your greatest need is of salvation. And the reason that you need to be saved is because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have come short of God's glory. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. We're all sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. We have broken God's law. You can go through the Ten Commandments that we're not to have any other gods before us. We're not to have any images or worship any graven image. We're not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We're to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. We're to honor our father and mother. You're not to, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Now we can go through that, and every one of us have broken at least one, and if we're honest, we have broken many of those commandments and broke them over and over again. And because we have broken God's law and offended a holy God, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And there is a price to pay. And when you, if you live your life in sin and you go on doing the way you want to do things, going in the way you want to go, doing what you want to do, when you die, you're going to wake up in hell. And that is the wages that you rightfully earn because you have broken God's law. And if you've offended the law in one point, you have broken God's law and you're a guilty sinner. So your greatest need is that of salvation. Because you can't save yourself. You cannot redeem yourself. Somebody must pay your price, your sin debt. I cannot pay your sin debt because I have one of my own. If I were to ask for a raise of hands, I just went through the Ten Commandments and asked how many of us have broken those commandments, every one of us, if we were honest, would have to put our hands up. And by our own admission that we're guilty sinners and deserving of God's judgment. But the story doesn't end there. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is the greatest need that you have. Because if you die without Christ, you're going to be on the wrong side. You're going to be in hell. But you do not have to go there. You do not have to face life with uncertainty as to where you're going to spend eternity. God commended His love. He displayed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, God will save you. If you'll believe with your heart and accept Christ and confess Him as your Lord and Savior, He'll save you. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter how good you are, you need Christ. It doesn't matter how bad you are, Christ will save you. Amen. The great need is salvation. And look, not only is provision necessary, but it's easy. All you've got to do is look. Look unto me and be ye saved. How much simpler can salvation be? To look to Him, to trust Him, to look to Christ is more than just like look at somebody and move on. But you look at Him and you receive Him as your Savior. To look, a personal claim. He says, look unto me and be ye saved. It didn't say look to the church. It didn't say look to an institution or an organization. He said look unto me. God says look unto me and I'll save. He's the one that can save. Can you imagine that? The one you offended is the one that'll save you. Amen. God has provided Himself, the Lamb, and He'll save you. The provision, the place, look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. We've got the Bolsons here with us. Well, a couple of them anyway, and working in Pohnpei and laboring for the glory of God. We're going to have Brother Brinson Jennings as missionary of the Niger, West Africa, is going to be with us tonight. We've got Jeremy and Tanya. We're doing the best we can to get rid of them, to get them in Ghana, West Africa. We've had Brother Philip Pritchard and Cape Verde and wherever else they can find Portuguese speaking people that preach the gospel. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. The Great Commission is to get the gospel out in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. Go preach the gospel to every creature. That call has gone out. But we see here that this and the Lord, no doubt, is letting Israel know that there's going to come a time that God is going to reach the Gentile nations of which we're part of. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. This passage tells me three things. Number one, salvation is available. Salvation is available. Salvation is available. That's not the three things, okay? I just wanted to say it three times because I was getting a blessing out of my own preaching. Can I have a witness? Amen. Amen. Salvation is available to anyone. And no matter how old you are, how young you are, salvation is available. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are, salvation is available to anyone. It doesn't matter red or yellow, black or white. They're all precious in His sight. It doesn't matter what race you are. God will save anyone. It doesn't matter what political preference you are. Yes, God will save a Republican and He'll save a Democrat. Amen? Praise God. It doesn't matter whether you're a church member or you've never been to church. Salvation is available to anyone. It doesn't matter whether you've had the best parentage in the world or you come from a line of, you don't know where you came from. Amen. Salvation is available to anyone. You can have a Christian home or a broken home. Salvation is available to anyone. You can go to public school, Christian school, private school, don't go to school. Salvation is available to anyone. Amen. And salvation is available to everyone. Amen. Hey, it doesn't matter. If you're here today and you want to get saved, God will save you. Because salvation is available to anyone. It's available to everyone. And let me tell you this, it's available to you if you'll receive Christ. Now, you know, the Lord, you know, preachers and teachers, sometimes we have a difficulty, you know, looking at a congregation as a whole as opposed to separating people out individually and looking at people as individuals. And people have that problem. But God does not. God looks at this congregation. He can look at the whole world as an entity. And at the same time, look at every person individually. Salvation is available to you if you will put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The provision, be ye saved, the place, all the ends of the earth. The person, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. Now, if this message was my message, it really wouldn't be worth a whole lot. I appreciate that we didn't have any response on that, but it's true. If this is my message, it wouldn't be worth a whole lot. If this is a message from the Baptist that they contrived, it would be worth a whole lot. If it was a message from a political leader, it definitely wouldn't be worth a whole lot. If this message was contrived by a group, an individual, an organization, this message would not be a whole lot. You say, be you saved all the ends of the earth. But you know what makes a message so great? It's who gave it. Be ye saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God. What makes this message great is that the one that's providing the message is the one that's providing the salvation. Amen. Now, you know, man, even man at his best can let you down. But if God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Be ye saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God. The word, the Hebrew word for here is El. And it is talking about the mighty one. Isaiah 45 and verse 18, we read here, the Lord said, I am the Lord and there's none else. God is mighty in his rank. There's nobody greater than him. There's nobody to appeal to. There's nobody that's more powerful than him. God is mighty in his rank. He's mighty in his authority. In verse 23, I've sworn by myself. Now, if there's nobody greater than you are, who are you going to swear by? Who are you going to make a covenant with? If there's nobody greater, you just swear by yourself. Now, I cannot make a commitment by myself because I don't have the authority and the power and the ability and the wisdom to necessarily carry out everything that I may promise that I'm going to do. But God does. So he said, I've sworn by myself. In authority, he has the authority. The word is going out of my mouth. In righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. He is mighty in his authority. He is mighty in his power. In verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. God doesn't have to speak in secret. He can speak openly. He makes this declaration openly. You know, some people make promises, but they do it in secret because they may not have the ability to fulfill the promise, but not God. God has spoken openly. He has the power to save. He has the power to forgive. He has the power to restore. Can I have a witness? Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is mighty in his strength. Verse 17. But Israel shall be saved. He didn't say might. He said shall be saved.
For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe so, might so, hope so, and hold on a while, we'll figure it out. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. Amen. He is mighty in that he is above all. It says here, we quoted before, there's no God else beside me. A just God and Savior, there's none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. I'm the mighty one. Now the word I am is not referring to Jehovah here, but my mind just could not go back to that. I couldn't help but go back. When God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, he said, I am that I am. I'm the self-existing, self-sustaining one. And there's only one, and that's God. I am that I am. He told Moses in Exodus chapter 6, he said, I've been known by the name God, El Shaddai, but I had not been known by the name Jehovah till now. Moses learned of the name Jehovah, of the name of God, the self-existing one, the covenant-keeping God. God revealed that to him by revelation. But if you go back and look in the book of Genesis, while the name Jehovah, which is translated in your King James Bible with all capitals, the capital L-O-R-D, and it's translated that way because it's a name that's unpronounceable. And while the name is referred to as Moses is inspired of God to pen the book of Genesis, it is only used by one patriarch one time. It is used by Jacob. When he says, as he is getting ready to die and he is giving the charge to his children, he said, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. What Moses learned by revelation, Jacob learned by experience. Jacob had been waiting for thy salvation. Jacob, who had a great end. Jacob had a great end. But I'm going to tell you what, he sure had a bumpy road. I mean, you know, hey, if you're a liar and conniver, God's going to put you down a bunch of bumps to get you straightened out, amen. You realize that Jacob had more wasted years than good years? You realize that? Jacob had more wasted years and good years, and yet he went out on top. Because it's how you end that's most important. I have waited for thy salvation, O God. The message today, turn with me to Psalm 83 in your Bible. Back in Psalm 83, in verse 16. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord. You know, some of the things that our country is going through may be God's way of waking us up so that we'll realize we need him. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is, it don't say Allah right here, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. Now again, the word Jehovah is not in our text. But let me tell you that the name of God, who's El Shaddai and Elohim, is also Jehovah God. He's one and the same person. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. A plan, there's none else. There's no other person to look to. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Therefore we must do what John commanded in John 1 and verse 29. He told the church, he told the crowd of that day, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb. And that message goes out today. Sinner friend, you may be listening by the radio, you're here in this congregation, and the call goes out to you, if you need to be saved, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb, look unto him and be saved. For I am God, and there's none else. There's no other way. There's not the Baptist way, the Pentecostal way, the Presbyterian way, the non-denominational way. There's not another religion, not another cult. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the end of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. There's no other plan to follow. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He say, is getting saved that simple? Yes, it is. Just that simple. The plan, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. You say, well, I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll wait till the next day. I'll wait till a little longer. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have the close of this day. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. There are people that say that we should not preach on repentance because repentance is works. Well, that's just not true at all. Repentance is realizing that you're going the wrong way. That you're in the wrong path. Doing the wrong thing. Looking to the wrong thing. Believing the wrong thing. And you realize that you are going the wrong way, and that you turn from whatever you're looking to and you look to Him. That's repentance. It's a change of mind that produces a change of action. You say, well, I'll pray a little prayer and I'll have me a little profession, then I'll go out and live like I want to. No, what you've got is a profession. You don't have Jesus. Because when you get saved, God moves into your heart. Amen. And when somebody as big as God moves into something as puny as you are, let me tell you something, it'll make a change in your life. Look unto me and be ye saved. You know one of the worst places I think to go to hell from? Would be sitting in the Baptist church pew. And one of the worst Baptist churches to go to hell from would be the Orangeburg Baptist Tabernacle. Imagine coming to this church Sunday after Sunday, or coming every now and then, and listening to a clear gospel presentation, and you don't listen, you don't care about your soul, and you just, you know, I'm going to come here, put my little hour in, and then I'm gone. You die and go to hell. The message that you ignored will come back to you in that day. Wouldn't it be better to go ahead and respond today? While there's an opportunity. Maybe you're listening and you say, preacher, I have messed my life up so bad. I just don't know. I just don't know if God would take me. Hey, if you'll come to Him, He'll take you. He'll save you. And He'll forgive you of all your sin. There's no other plan to follow. Simon Peter had talking to the Lord, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's no other person to look to. There's no other plan to follow. There's no other place to go but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I don't think of a better illustration of looking to the Lord than going back in Israel's history. Israel, the next generation, murmured, complained against the Lord. And God sent fiery serpents. He sent poisonous snakes in their midst. And they were being bitten. And they cried to the Lord. And they cried to Moses. And Moses, we have sinned. And do something. We need some help. And God told Moses. He said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to make a fiery serpent. You're going to set it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Well, Moses followed the command of God. He made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You take an Israelite and a fiery serpent had bitten him, hey, if he got his snake kid out, that wasn't going to help him. He'd gotten to the physician, that wasn't going to help him. There was no remedy for this poison. It's probably snakes are probably more poisonous than the two-step mamba, the green mamba in Africa. He bites you two steps and you're gone. See you. They're probably more poisonous than that. No cure, no antidote.
But God gave the message. He made that fiery serpent of brass, picturing the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, suffering our judgment for you and I. And that serpent on that fiery serpent made of brass. An Israelite, he could be getting ready to take his last breath. All he had to do was look, and he lived. He didn't have to have a 5-point prayer plan. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't have to go through a religious ritual. He didn't have to go to the church house. All he had to do was to look, and he lived. Said a friend, all you've got to do is to look, and you'll live. All you've got to do is to look to him, and you'll live. All you've got to do is to trust him, and he'll save you. Hallelujah, glory to God. Look and live. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's none else. The call goes out, as I mentioned, to those that are indifferent toward the things of God. Look unto Christ and be saved. I wish there was more that I could do to get some of your, to grab a hold of your attention, to awaken you to the great need of salvation. But I'm doing all that I know what to do. You're here and you're indifferent. You're listening by the radio and you're going to dismiss it. Don't do that. There have been too many people that I know that have made that mistake and have died and went to hell. Don't make that mistake. There's a call that goes out to those that feel like that they're unworthy. There's nobody too good that doesn't need Jesus and nobody too bad that can't have him. And then, whosoever will, the call goes out. Whosoever will, let him look to Christ and live. Now, you know, the message I have talked about the context, the nation of Israel. The context is an appeal to a nation that once knew the Lord, but had rejected God, and the call is going out for a nation to return to the Lord. This invitation goes out to our community at large. A community that once honored God to return to the Lord. It goes out to those that are absent from the house of God. This may go primarily to those that are listening in the out on the radio. We have shut-ins that are not able to make it to church, but there are those that could make it, and you've been out of the house of God. The call is for you to return to the Lord and to the assembly, to get back where God wants you to be. And then it goes out to those of us that are in the church assembly to turn from the love and the cares of this world and for us to return to our first love. Because we have drifted away from him. Look unto me and be saved. Now, if you're a child of God, that doesn't mean that you have to get saved again. But as a child of God, I can look to him and I can say, Lord, I've left my first love. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want my fellowship restored. I want my joy given back. I want my purpose renewed. Let me tell you, you can look to him and God will do that work in your heart of restoration. And may I be so bold to say that I believe, that the majority, if not every single person, including myself, that is sitting in this congregation, needs to be restored to their first love. Can I be so bold to say that? I believe I will be accurate. And perhaps not every single person, but I believe the vast majority of us. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's none else. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.